September 10th, 1986.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Today's program will begin in just a moment, but first a reminder that our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. Please confine your remarks to the subject being discussed on this morning's program and be as brief as possible so others may call in too. Now, here's your host for Feedback, Tom Trolson.
Thank you, Melissa. It's 3 minutes past 10. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Feedback, our monthly nutritional update with Ted Brower, and talking this morning about facts, fads, and fallacies about nutrition. We'll find out exactly what that means in a minute. I want to let you know that we're going to keep the phone lines closed until the second half of the show again this morning so we can get in all of the pertinent information before the phones ring off the hook, as they usually do. So please hold off on your questions and comments until the second half of the show this morning. Facts, fads, and fallacies about nutrition. Where do you start with that?
Well, Tom, I really want to start this morning by giving the people who are listening and the people who are interested in better and more sound nutrition the reasons for doing this show. And I hopefully that I'm addressing a major or a majority of a Christian market. But the main reason I wanted to do this show this morning is because, as Hosea says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And we should not be of this world. We should be separate. And it's important for us as Christians to be healthy people. In fact, it's very hard for a healthy or a sick Christian to win a healthy sinner to Christ. It's very difficult. And so we should be separate from the world in all the ways that we are, period, including our diet as far as I'm concerned. The Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate. And this is the philosophy of NCS Nutrition Ministries, not a fanaticism type doctrine or anything such as that, but it's that we should be aware of the food that we eat and we should seek to be as healthy as we can through proper diet.
What is the first response you give to someone that says that your philosophy, so to speak, on diet seems to be radical or fanatical? How do you respond to that?
Radical? Well, what we always try to do is we always try to base all of our research and all of our findings on God's Word. We use God's Word to document scientific literature and data, not vice versa. Many scientists are saying, well, now that we found this out, we're using this to, science to document God's Word. Well, no, we don't do that. We use God's Word to document science because God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's always correct. A lot of the programs that are marketed today as far as different diet products, etc., we had spoken about those before the show, are not based on sound biblical nutrition. and this is the whole precept that we work from, is that it needs to be based in biblical nutrition because, God created us. It's through Jesus that all things hold together, and we should be aware of the fact that He is the Creator, we are the created, and He knows what we should and shouldn't eat, and He gives us a pretty much of a dietary guideline throughout the Old and New Testament on what we should and shouldn't do as far as, food consumption.
All right.
Also, we wanted to address a lot of the letters that we get, and we appreciate so many of the letters that we get to our office in approval of the shows and stuff that we do, saying, well, we didn't know this stuff, and thank you so much. And I just want to thank all of you for the letters that you've written in approval and the letters of inquiry that you sent our offices. And another reason that we want to address this show this morning is that I've been working in nutrition for the past 14 years, and the Lord has blessed me with a lot of knowledge, and it's Him who has done it, because in myself, I am nothing as far as nutrition. It's His Word that's given me so much of the knowledge that I have, and I felt as, I feel as though it's important to share a lot of these things with people, and this is the primary purpose of what we do. Now, there's a big universal disagreement in this country about major questions concerning nutrition. Some people, they believe in a high-protein diet. Other people believe in a low-protein diet. Other people believe in X amount of salt. Other people believe that vitamins are good and they're not good. And so we're going to address all these issues today. But there's four major reasons that there's such a discrepancy as far as what people believe in this country and really what people believe in other countries. You see, there's really not a universal disagreement as far as nutrition. It's primarily basically just the United States and Canada are the two main countries who have a lot of disagreements. In Europe and a lot of the other countries who practice preventive health care already, they don't have these problems. Everybody basically agrees on what should and shouldn't be done as far as health, on the major issues. But in this country, several things have caused this, and the first thing is scholastic dogmatism and sentimental prejudice. Many people have been trained in schools which were originally their ideas were brought around in the 1800s as far as nutrition. And these schools, you know, they go to these Ivy League schools and these big schools, and they think, hey, my school can't be wrong. There's no way that my school can be wrong. I don't care if I learned this stuff 50 years ago back when I was in college. It has to be right. And, Tom, there is so much research being done in the area of nutrition in this country alone that it takes me. I've read 4 or 5 books in the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's all I ever do is read, read, read. And all the research is incredible, that all the new stuff that is coming out. Unless a person stays abreast of this and stays working with it all the time, it's very hard to keep up with it. Secondly, and I hate to say this, but we've talked about it in other shows, is the almighty dollar. You know, so many people have made in this country, is they've made the dollar their god, and commercialism has run rampant, and so many companies promote foods they know are low in nutrition just for the simple sake of profit. And a lot of the food industries and a lot of the concentrated products that are on the market, you know, such as the processed foods that are on the market, they're the ones who do a lot of the nutrition research. So what do you think the nutrition research is going to say? And it's frustrating to me because when I was in when I was at Florida State, I took some classes in marketing and some stuff in statistical analysis. And if you doctor up your statistics well enough, you can just about make research say anything you want, depending on what you want it to say. Because you can do all kinds of things with graphs and curves, and you can make things say things that they really don't say if you know what you're doing. And a lot of these big commercial companies, they know how to do that very well. That's why they've started misleading us in the types of food additives they put into foods. Another one is the lack of dependable research on nutrition. Again, as we just mentioned, much of the research done in this country is done by these commercial food people who want the research to say whatever they want it to say. That's why
it's biased, isn't it?
Of course it is. You'll see it. You'll hear one thing: high protein diet is good. You'll read it in the paper next day. Well, high protein linked to death in many cases. And you hear all this conflicting information, so everybody gets confused. And again, number 4, as we've already mentioned, is the outdated, obsolete information from many of the schools that have taught theories on nutrition, which are out of the 1800s. For instance, one of the big things about protein research that's been done several years ago was done in the 19th century, back in the 1800s, by von Liebig, von Voigt, and Max Gruber. They were German researchers, and they found that the average person needed 120 grams of protein a day. This is over 100 years ago this research was done. But these conclusions that they drew were based on primitive and unscientifically conducted research. For example, no scientific distinction was made between animal or vegetable protein, between raw and cooked protein. And much of today's research and most of the teachings that are at the major universities are still from these scientists from over 100 years ago. And now it's been shown in all the countries over in Europe that, you know, the average American or the average person who's alive can do very well between 30 and 50 grams of protein a day, not 120. You had a kidney specialist in here that you were interviewing several weeks ago when I was listening to the show, and he was talking about how people consume too much protein in this country. I remember him saying that the average American, I think he said something like 200 to 250 grams of protein a day, and that overloads the kidneys, it pushes the blood urea sky high. You know, he said that because of that and not drinking enough water, this is how I interpreted what he was saying, that you end up with kidney stone problems in this country. And it's so true. We've been so brainwashed into believing that we can eat this much protein and be healthy that it's causing a lot of degenerative defects in this country, and we'll go into that in more detail later on. Again, protein is a big problem that we have in this country as far as the should we eat it or shouldn't we eat it. And vitamin C is another one. People say, well, vitamin C is good for everyone. And if in case we don't get to that, that is not true. Okay? If a person's pHs are below 6.4, they cannot assimilate vitamin C properly. It will tend to drive their pHs further to the acid level because vitamin C is ascorbic acid, and it can actually make their condition worse. So vitamin C is not good for everyone, contrary to popular belief. Now, of course, now you can get 20 other people on here who will tell me that I'm wrong. Okay? But I know because we work with this all the time. Salt is another thing. People say, oh, everywhere from 20 grams of salt a day to 1,000 grams of salt, milligrams of salt a day. And it's just that, again, is something whoever you read. So, you know, again, we just have to realize that there's a lot of problems in this area because of the what we've already stated as far as the research that's been done. In addition to that, you'll see that sometimes you'll see a radical magazine will come out, and you know some of these nutrition magazines are pretty radical, and they'll condemn the use of meat or whatever, and they'll sell 5,000 copies. Or on the other hand, you have another nutrition magazine come out, and they'll say, eat all the beef with all its trimmings and all the flavors, and they'll sell 500,000 copies, okay? And so you have a question between selling 5,000 copies or 500,000 copies. Well, you see, again, that commercialism comes in. And you see, and I believe it's in Timothy, it says that in latter times people will hear what their itching ears want to hear. and they don't want to hear a lot of things about diet and nutrition, because the root word of disciple is discipline, and it takes a disciplined mind and a disciplined relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit working through you to watch your diet and be careful with what you eat. And many Christians simply don't want to do that.
So a lot of it comes down to our responsibility with what we eat again.
Exactly, Tom. And as we've mentioned before, we heard an old Baptist preacher say one time that every pot sits on its own bottom. And that's so true with nutrition research and what we do with our bodies. We have people who come to our office all the time for nutrition information, and we'll give them some special programs and foods they should and shouldn't eat and should avoid. And I've had them say to me, "Ted, I can't not use salt." I think it's a double negative. Okay, I can't stop using salt. And I say, "Well, why not?" "Well, you don't seem to understand. I've got to have it." And you know, and then
that tells you right off there's a problem.
There's a problem. And then we'll say to them, "Well, we'll teach you how to monitor your salt levels." So we use what we call electroconductivity meter, and we teach them how to monitor their salt levels. And their salt levels are 10 times above normal. And they go, I go, "Well, you know, your salts are kind of high." And I've had people come in and their salts continually stay high. They wouldn't get off the salt. And you see, this is another problem that we need to address that as Christians. A lot of times we end up with demons as Christians. And now people are thinking, "Boy, this Ted Bro, he's really off the deep end." Well, that's true. We do. We end up, and it's not. I'm not saying that we're not saved, but we have this demonic influence in our life, and we need to be delivered of that. And I think we have a group in our church, Spiritual Warfare Ministries, who do a lot of that.
I think what you're referring to is being bound by something, whether it's a spirit of lust or salt.
It doesn't matter.
If you have to have salt, or you've got to have your soda pop. Or
that's right. Because a demon will come into a saint's body, even a saint, okay? He comes into the body for the sole purpose of killing the person. That's the only reason he comes into the person. He wants to kill the person. He will demand the foods that he wants to eat and force you to abstain from the foods that you know you should eat. He will do this until you're dead. This is just a fact. And then he will leave and go somewhere else. He doesn't die. And so we don't realize that a lot of the bondage that we are into food is because of demonic interference. And you know, and now people are saying, "Boy, this guy is really a left-wing radical."
Now he's saying there's demons in soda pop. Right?
That's right. But you know, we have to realize that through all of the advertising and subliminal suggestions that we receive as just people who watch TV or read the newspapers, that it's pretty frustrating. For instance, a preschool child has spent more time in front of the TV set than a four-year college student has spent in the classroom. It's unbelievable. During 1 year, 22,000 ads and 200 hours of commercials are showed to our preschool kids. $800 million a year is spent on ads for children. If children watch ads on Saturday morning, they will come across with three basic assumptions. That's cereals with sugar are great energy sources. That energy and action will be equal to happiness, to run around the house like a wild person, and that the ability and health of a product, okay, is directly related to how processed it is, and that ready-to-eat cereals are the healthiest way to eat. And then to reinforce that, they'll tell the children, if you buy this cereal, if you get your parents to buy it, which is what they're persuading them to do, then we will give you a free toy in the box. With little regard to the fact that, hey, this cereal may be absolutely worthless, and the FDA and the government has said that many, many of the breakfast cereals are totally devoid of nutrition or absolute garbage on the market, and it's through their marketing they've been able to prove once again that you can sell anything to anybody if you tell them how good it is long enough. Because then, as the proverb says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The person begins to think, well, it can't be that bad, or they wouldn't be selling it. Baloney. Which is, baloney's no good either, but okay. But this is what we have to realize. And I look at some of the proverbs. Let me read a few of them to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 14:15. A simple man believes anything, okay, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. Again, this goes to the breakfast cereal commercials. Proverbs 15:3, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. And people say, well, why are you reading all the Proverbs now? Well, there's a reason for it. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you are under some type of demonic possession, if you have bitterness, anger, rage, resentments, if you harbor all these feelings towards another person, it will mess up your digestive system. That's the fact. The fallacy is, don't worry about how you feel. Eat it anyway. That's not true. What you feel inside will be directly affecting how well you digest your foods. And this is something people have got to learn, is that we need to be delivered of all these resentments, because these things are the seed for degenerative disease, for cancer, for all these horrible things that happen to people, is all the bitterness that's within people.
So you're saying there's a direct correlation between our emotions and our body's ability to digest our food.
Of course, and you'll see it many times if you are... get into an argument with your wife, which I know you never do that, Tom, but the listeners, of course. Okay. I shouldn't say an argument. If you get into a discussion with your wife over dinner about the kids or about a TV show or about a traffic ticket or a speeding ticket or a ticket somebody got in the family.
Or about the dinner
or somebody wrecked the car, you know. You can feel your whole system start to shut down as far as digestion. We talked about this when we did the stress seminar here on the radio last year. And it's incredible what happens to the system when it shuts down. All the food begins to lay in there and begins to rot in the colon, and all these degenerative diseases take place. So, again, as Proverbs continue to say, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Or, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. And, again, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And my last one is, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's why we're here today. We're to teach people, hey, look, if you're going to have a discussion, if the wife got a speeding ticket or a parking ticket or whatever, the dinner table is not the place to bring it up.
What do you recommend to folks that just come home from a hard day's work and are just, quote, all wound up?
I recommend that they relax a while, they turn on WCIE and listen to some soft music, and just relax for 20, 30 minutes or an hour before they start the digestive process, because it is not healthy to eat like that. In addition to that, you should always be eating about the same time every day. You should keep your body on some type of rhythm. We call it circadian rhythm.
It's 10:19. You're listening to Feedback, our monthly nutritional update with Ted Brewer. We're talking this morning about the facts, fads, and fallacies about nutrition. And we'll be opening up our phone lines during the second half of the program this morning, so stay with us.
Many Christians, Tom, that I've spoken to believe that we can eat anything and be healthy. And if that were true, Tom, we could sit down and we could have soft drinks, which have the available carbohydrates our body needs for energy sources, and we could stay alive on soft drinks. Believe it or not, we could. And we could do that 3 or 4 times a day. We could take in a couple thousand calories a day on soft drinks and take in, 60, 70 teaspoons of sugar and just continue to drink our soft drinks every single day and be healthy. Well, anybody with any sense knows that that's a fallacious argument. That makes absolutely no sense. It's ludicrous. But I hear Christians say it all the time. We can eat whatever we want to eat and be healthy. It is not true. Okay? People don't realize that, that diet is essential for good health. Now, but as Christians, I want you all to understand that diet has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. In fact, if you contrast salvation to diet is absolutely meaningless. When you look at the relative unimportance of it. Because, if we're here, the most we're going to live, according to all nutrition experts, is around 150 years. That's about it. That's going to top it out, unless the Lord decides to keep us around longer. So if you contrast 150 years to a billion years in eternity, it's meaningless. Okay? So salvation and the personal relationship that you develop with Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit is much, much, much more important than diet. And what was your comment before we got started about the...
Your salvation is nearer than you think?
That's right. And if you simply, drink these soft drinks 5 or 6 times a day and don't eat anything else, then as you've said before the show, your salvation is nearer than you think. But we also have to realize, as Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19 says, that don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you, for you are that temple. And it says again, let me paraphrase that. Let me quote it to you exactly. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If anyone of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he might become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. The wisdom of this world is breakfast cereals that have no nutrition. the wisdom of this world is subliminal advertising, which teaches us all these horrible things that we should do to our bodies and we really shouldn't do them. And it's through suggestive advertising that we do it. An excellent book, if I can mention it on the air, by a Christian author, is Images, and its name of it is Exposing Subliminal Attacks in the Last Days by John W. Tranter. And it is an excellent book, and it talks about this, about how we are so coerced by the advertisers as Christians to do the things that we shouldn't do, and we are unknowingly taught these things. We don't even realize what's happening. But now, let's look at some of the fads, since that's the main purpose of our show this morning. I hear people say all the time, don't eat white sugar, it's poison. It's absolutely the worst thing that you can possibly eat. Don't do it. Teaspoon of it will put you in the grave. Okay? It's not true. That's fanatic. Okay? You can eat up to 5 pounds of white sugar. It won't really hurt your body chemistry. It won't. But that's not what the average American does. The average American consumes 67 teaspoons of sugar a day, 165 pounds of sugar a year. And this is why we're so, you know, just cursed in this country, so to speak, with hypoglycemia and diabetes. You can't continue to ingest this large quantity of sugar every single day and not have problems with your pancreas. I was at one of these convenient markets the other day, and a man was there buying one of these 46-ounce drinks. And I think we mentioned this on the last show. And I walked up to him, and, you know, and I was just curious if what he, I didn't want to try to, you know, hassle him or anything. And I said to him, I said, because he's a pretty big guy, I didn't want to, okay. And I said to him, I said, sir, I said, do you realize there's 40 teaspoons of sugar in that drink? He goes, no. And I said, well, yeah, there are. You know, that's from corn syrup, basically the syrup that they use, and it's really, really loaded with sugar. And he goes, wow, no wonder I get such an energy charge. And he looked at me, and he had a kind of a puzzled look on his face for a second time, and he goes, well, you know, a lot of my friends are coming down with diabetes and all these problems. I wonder if this has something to do with it. But you see, of course it does, but that is how uneducated the majority of the people are in this country to what they're putting into their bodies. You know, we don't have good, sound nutrition teaching because of what I've already mentioned at the beginning of the show, because of all the controversy that's around it. So, if you eat 5 pounds of sugar a year, it's no big deal. I had a very wonderful lady that I had the pleasure of getting to know for the last couple of weeks who was visiting her grandchild and her children down here from Ohio. Her name's Ann. And she's leaving today to go back up to Ohio. And she was asking me yesterday, she's lost a bunch of weight on the program, and she needs to lose a few pounds. And she asked me, she goes, Ted, she goes, what am I going to do over Thanksgiving and Christmas over the holidays? You know, what am I to do? I mean, I can't just, you know, eat a salad. I mean, how would that look? And I said, and if on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day you want to eat what everybody else eats and you want to have your mashed potatoes and your gravy and all the trimmings and the pies, eat it. It's not that big of a deal. Two or three times a year, it makes no difference. It's just when you do that kind of stuff every single day, that's when you start having problems with degenerative disease. The body can handle it in relative small amounts. You know, all things in moderation. The second thing, people say no white flour. Whole wheat is much better, okay? Whole wheat flour is much better, especially if it's fresh ground. But if you eat 5 pounds of white flour a year, it's no big deal. You know, again, over the holidays, how do you make a good pie with whole wheat flour? It just doesn't taste the same. So it really isn't that big of a deal if you use the white flour a couple, three, four times a year. But you have to realize that white flour is almost totally devoid of nutrients. Has almost all of the B vitamins left are gone, have been destroyed, and in the processing, they're removed of the bran layer. And there's very little nutrition in white flour. So don't make that your staple in your diet. You know, use the whole wheat flour. Use all the other different types of flour because they're much healthier for you. Another fallacy. People say no fried foods. Okay, that's simply not true. What we need to do is learn how to moderate these things and not to use animal lard to cook the fried foods. People don't realize lard is pork fat. Tom, you know how I feel about pork, okay? And I say that, and people say, well, what's he talking about? He hasn't said anything about pork. In Leviticus, we are told that pork is unclean, okay? In the New Testament, we are told that we can eat whatever we want, that is our salvation is not based upon that, which is true. But that does not change the fact that it is not a healthy food to eat. We've shown through studies, and I've got all this stuff if people want to have it, read it, that the urea levels in the body, or the amount of undigested protein in the blood, increases dramatically after the consumption of pork, which means that the blood becomes thicker, the viscosity increases, the heart has to work harder, the respiration increases, the heart beats harder, the blood pressure goes up, aging process is greatly sped up. through pork. People say, well, that's unbelievable. Well, that's why God said don't eat it. You know, and on top of that, a third of the people who are diagnosed in this country are diagnosed with trichinosis, you know, which is from eating unclean pork. And so, you know, it's an unhealthy food to eat. I include bacon. You know, we had a gal come in the office the other day, and her favorite food was a bacon double cheeseburger. Okay, which I thought, wow. And I told her, I said, I cannot think of a worse food for you to eat. I couldn't think of one. She had unbelievable problems with constipation. She couldn't believe it. She had, you know, unbelievable. She hadn't used a bathroom or had a bowel movement. And please, people who are listening, don't get offended by this. This is just part of the biological thing that we deal with every day, and it's something we all need to be aware of. She had not used the bathroom in 4 or 5 days. And she said the only way she could use the bathroom is if she used a laxative. So she monitored her. I taught her how to monitor her salt levels, and her salt levels were almost 12 times above normal. People don't realize excessive salt in the body causes a dehydration of the colon wall, which causes pockets to develop and cause the colon to lose its tonus, which almost always leads to the development of constipation. And so I told her, I said, if you want to have these problems corrected, you've got to get off this junk food, increase your fiber intake, and start drinking distilled water to get the salt back out of your system and cut out the salt. And she said, wow. She goes, I didn't realize it was that bad. I said, it's that bad. We bought some charts the other day of the human anatomy, and we went to one of the local medical places here in Lakeland. And they had a whole Rolodex, Tom. I bet there were thousands of names of people just in Lakeland who had had colostomies. Their colons had been removed. And see, we need to be aware of this as Christians, that, you know, what we put into our temple will affect our temple, and we need to stay away from these types of foods. So, again, fried foods, if you're going to use olive oil or corn oil or sunflower oil, that's okay, in moderation. Some constipation problems can actually be helped by the use of oil because it helps to lubricate the bowels. But don't go in and eat all this junk stuff. She had told me, she goes, well, I've been going the last couple of days, and instead of eating the double cheese bacon burgers or whatever she was eating, she goes, I've gone ahead and started eating the fish burgers. And I said, you don't realize that the fish burgers are fried in lard, in swine flesh fat. And she goes, you've got to be kidding. And I said, no. And I said, that's the problem. I said, people don't realize that if they eat a chicken sandwich or a fish sandwich, they're actually getting more fat in their diet than they would have had they just eaten a hamburger. She goes, you've got to be kidding. I said, no. I said, this is the problem with the fast food. It's just not healthy food to eat. Now, again, so if we're going to use salt, make sure we use it in great moderation. In fact, most food contains sufficient amounts of salt that you don't need to add any table salt. Now, somebody said to me, well, you need to use sea salt instead. That is not true. Sea salt is really not as good for you as regular salt because it's 7 times as salty as real salt. People have a tendency to use a lot more of it. Now, another program that people have promoted is the vegetarian diet. And what they'll use is they'll use the first part of Genesis, and they'll promote that, and they'll say, God said we're to be vegetarians. I don't like it when people do that, okay, because they're taking things out of context. Later on in the same chapter, God released Noah, okay, after the flood, to go ahead and eat meat. Okay, so if they want to be vegetarians, that's fine. I have no problems with that. But don't use the scripture to support something that's not there, because, you know, it talks about eating meat throughout the whole Bible. And so we need to be aware of that.
It's 10:31. You're listening to Feedback, our monthly nutritional update with Ted Brewer. And the topic this morning, facts, fads, and fallacies about nutrition. And we're about to take our mid-program break. And during the second half of the program, we're going to be opening up the phone lines. And here's the number to call, 858-3805. Please be as brief as possible, and if you don't mind, let us know where you're calling in from. 858-3805. We'll be right back.
Hello, friend. I have a man here that seems to be happy.
Hello.
Note the cheery smile. However, it's time to change all that with a new product called Rotten Thoughts from Slewfoot Labs. Yes, friend, a pinch of rotten thoughts between the ears and...
Who are you?
Notice that countenance. Rotten Thoughts contains your shortcomings, failures, and mess-ups. Rotten Thoughts from Slewfoot Labs. Not sold in stores. Guaranteed to ruin your day.
10:31, we're back live with a Wednesday edition of Feedback, talking with Ted Brewer about the facts, fads, and fallacies about nutrition. And just before we go to the phone, you had something else you wanted to comment on.
Yes, one more thing about the vegetarian diet. Many churches and many cults, believe that, you know, that if we don't have vegetarian diets, that we're not going to go to heaven. And that's why I wanted to stress the importance of that, because that is not scriptural. Okay, we can't eat some meat products, but remember, they're in to be into moderation. I don't believe that we should eat pork or swine flesh because it's unhealthy to eat, but as far as salvation is concerned, it makes no difference. Another thing that people aren't aware of, they think that shellfish is good for them. This is the last thing I've been seeing in a lot of the magazines. Oysters and lobsters and all these things are good, healthy foods to eat. Untrue. They are scavenger feeders. All a lobster is one huge, gigantic cockroach at the bottom of the ocean. That's all it is. God told us not to eat these things. They have very high toxic levels of mercury and other biological contaminations because they are filter feeders, and they're the ones that clean up the ocean. They're the cesspool, so to speak, of the water. We are not supposed to eat these things.
Even if it tastes good.
Even if it tastes good. They're unhealthy for human consumption. They do the same thing that pork does. They cause an unbelievable rise in blood ureas and do all the same things that we had mentioned before. So we have to realize that, you know, regardless of what we want to eat, we should, as far as our temples are concerned, try to eat the foods that are the healthiest for us. For instance, if you go to someone's home and they give you a choice between pork chops or steak, you eat the steak because the steak's a clean food. If they give you a choice between fish, okay, or crab, you know, eat the fish. And there's a whole list of clean and unclean foods that we can read out to you real quick. It just take a second. Different things that clean meats are beef, lamb, mutton, and veal. Unclean meats are pork, dog, horse, and mule. Which you wouldn't think would eat about, you know, think about eating a dog, but some countries they do. Game, clean are buffalo, caribou, deer, elk, and moose. Unclean are armadillos, bear, beaver, muskrats, possums, rabbits, raccoons, squirrels, wild boar, and woodchucks. Clean game birds and poultry are capons, chickens, Cornish hens, dove, grouse, guinea fowl, lark, partridge, peasant. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Pigeon, quail, snipes, and turkeys. Unclean are ducks, eagles, falcons, goose, and osprey. Clean sea fish are bass, bluefish, butterfish, cod, croaker, cusk, flounder, grouper, haddock, hake, halibut, herring, kipper, lingcod, mullet, pilchard, pollock, pompano, porgy, red snapper, rosefish, salmon, sardine, sea trout, shad, sole, and whiting. Unclean fish are blue marlin, eel, lampreys, mackerel, octopus, squid, swordfish, tuna, turbots, whale, crab, lobster, shrimp, shark, oyster, scallops, and prawns. And tuna fish also is unclean. So we need to realize that, you know, that we need to avoid these things. It's kind of like with the Garden of Eden. God said you can eat anything you want, just don't eat off this tree. And it's kind of similar today. You know, we can eat whatever we want to eat regardless of our salvation, but there are foods that are healthier to eat for us than these unclean foods. And that's what we need to be aware of.
All right. 25 now before 11. Let's go to the phone. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Can you give us a healthy alternative to lunch meats for preschool lunches and just snacks, things that you can pack to send to school?
Sure, I can. Let me go ahead and read you some other things real quick and make sure I get this covered. Now, we will be continuing this program today because there's a lot more information than I'll have time to cover, and we'll be doing it at the First Assembly of God Church in Lakeland. We have a church we have a class that meets every Wednesday night, and it's called Eating to the Glory of God, and it's for the specific purpose of training God's people how to eat properly. Now, my wife teaches one of the segments every month, and she talks about food preparation and dieting. At the beginning of the year, we've incorporated a bunch of new stuff for her to teach, and she will be teaching every other week about food preparation and dieting, because we found the same thing that you've just asked, that many people become very confused when you start telling them the facts, and they want to know what their alternatives are. So there are several things that you can do if you want to have healthier children and healthier lives. Number one, eat only natural foods, which haven't been processed with a bunch of heat and irradiation and chemical treatments, and they haven't got a whole bunch of poisons and toxins on the soil. Eat only whole foods, such as whole wheat bread. If you're going to eat a potato, eat the skin. Brown rice, sugar cane, and oranges. They're all whole foods. Now, fragmented foods are stuff like white bread, instant potatoes, polished rice, white sugar, and orange juice. They are not whole food, and they're not as good for you. Another thing, eat only living foods. Try to eat as much of your diet. We recommend at least a third of the diet be eaten every day in totally raw food. Now, we don't recommend more than that because sometimes if a person's gastric juices are weak and they have a bad body chemistry, it's hard for them to digest foods in the raw state entirely. So we recommend that they do cook about two-thirds of their food, and as far as cooking it, to eat it. Now, try to find only poison-free food. Now, I know that to say that in this country is pretty hard to do because we have a pretty poison world that we live in with all the poisonings in the ground, but you can still find places and health food stores that sell food that aren't toxic, that they're certified to be naturally grown. In fact, the growing incidence of birth deformities is one of the most conspicuous diseases attributed to poisonous drugs and residues in foods that we're not consuming. And they eat a high natural carbohydrate, low protein diet. Now, people say, what do you mean by high carbohydrate? You mean drink Cokes and eat sugar? That's high carb. No, we're talking about natural carbohydrates such as sugar. No, not sugars. I think of sugars as being carbohydrates, Tom. Such as oranges and fruit and citrus products and vegetables and grains. Eat high carbohydrate foods rather than the refined processed sugar type foods. And those are the ones that we need to be aware of. In addition to that, we need to be using systematic under eating, and all of us need to be doing periodic fasting. Please, if you're going to fast, consult your medical doctor before doing so. We will be doing a complete show next month on nothing but fasting, on the spiritual and physical aspects of fasting. And we need to be aware of that's very important for proper health as far as cleansing body tissue. But systematic under-eating is also very important.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate your call.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were still on the air. And another thing we need to be aware of is correct eating habits. And we never eat raw fruits. You know, we never eat raw fruits and vegetables at the same meal. This is called food combining. We eat as few of the different foods as possible at one meal. And when we use a lot of protein-rich foods, we should avoid having those with other carbohydrates unless we eat the protein foods first.
All right, let's go back to the phone. It's 22 now before 11. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Tampa. I read an article in the Sunday paper that said that eating at night and snacking at night is bad for you, especially if you're going to go right to bed. Is that true? I'm going to hang up and let you answer.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. Yes, there are better times to eat than right before you go to bed, okay, because your body basically is in a pretty relaxed state when you're sleeping, and you shouldn't want to have to keep it fighting trying to digest food all night. It's better to eat your main meal during the midday and then to eat a smaller meal at dinner and just stay, you know, go to bed kind of hungry. And this is another thing of the systematic under-eating. We should always leave the table a little bit hungry. You know, we shouldn't walk around rubbing our stomachs saying how full we are, because that is not healthy. And some of the countries in this world who have high people, a lot of people who live to be over 100 years of age, when these people are interviewed, they have, in their basic regimen, they don't eat very much. And they're mostly basically thin. And I read one time that fat rats are always buried by their skinny rats. And it's the same thing with humans. You don't want to be overweight. And the time to decide that you want to lose weight is not when you're 65 years of age, because so much of the chronic degenerative diseases have already started in on you because of the weight problems. You need to be thin your whole life, not just, you know, worrying about it when you get older.
All right. Back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
What about freshwater catfish? They have no scales, but they have fins. Are they considered clean?
Nope, they're not. They're unclean.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, choice beef is what the most of the grocery stores market, and this is the heaviest marketing that they do, because the choice beef is the most heavily marbled, and we need to realize that it's not healthy, okay, to eat a lot of fat. Now, this is something that God has not retracted, and I want to read this to you. This is for all of us. And in God's Word, in Leviticus, and all of you write this down because this is really important. In God's Word, in Leviticus chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "The priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire, a pleasing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's." In verse 17, "This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Wherever you live, you must not eat any fat or blood." That has not been retracted. That is still the same. I mean, that's a lasting ordinance for all of the generations to come. The reason for this, billions of dollars have now been spent in heart disease research. And what they're all finding out is simply this: we eat too much fat. God's Word said that. Here it is, thousands and thousands of years ago. But again, science is always trying to prove that God's Word is wrong. And it always is. Science is always wrong if they try to disprove God's Word, because God's Word always is to the fact and to the point. The same thing about eating blood. Well, somebody said the other day, well, I don't sit down and drink blood. Well, if you go buy a porterhouse steak or some of this London broil or whatever at the grocery store, and you buy it frozen, you bring it home and you let it thaw out in a pan, what do you find in that pan the next day? It is loaded with blood. And the blood carries toxins and disease away from the tissues, and many times the blood, it becomes very toxic. That's why a kosher certified cow or beef or steer has been bled as it was still alive, and the blood has left the tissues. Now, there are ways that you can kosher a beef or a cow meat, okay, rather than buying the expensive koshering meat. What you can do is use about 1 cup of salt per quart of water and soak the bloody meat in the salt water, and that will actually draw the poisons and toxins and blood out of it. But now you've got to also be very careful. You've got to soak it again in regular water, then you've got to soak it in distilled water after that. That's right, to get the salt out, and it takes about 3 days to do all this. Okay, so it's just you have to be very careful with the meat that you eat, and it's best not to eat the blood or to eat the fat because it's bad for you. Now, another thing, in Acts in chapter 15, verse 28-29, the Bible again says, don't eat the food sacrificed to idols and don't eat the blood. Now, this is something that people don't realize, but it's a physiological impossibility to separate the blood and the fat of unclean animals because their whole flesh is permeated with fat. You can't separate swine's fat and their blood. You can't do it. You can't get it out of the tissue. So if you eat pork, you eat the fat along with it and the blood because you can't get it out of the tissue. And this is another reason that we need to realize that it's important that we don't eat these types of foods. But remember, and I want you all to remember what I'm saying here in Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We have to be aware of that, you know, our salvation is of utmost importance to God. Diet is just a tiny little piece of our time here on the earth. And in contrast, again, as to salvation, it is totally and utterly meaningless. But here's the question I ask Christians all the time. Would you rather walk in divine health or have to experience divine healing? There are many times that we bring a lot of these problems on ourselves because of our diet. I have not yet seen a person who is overweight who has not overeaten. And we don't realize that, you know, why it's going on, because many times the weight gain is gradual. And, you know, we may only gain 5 or 6 or 8 pounds a year. Well, after 10 years, you know, we've gained 80 pounds. And people think, well, I can't believe all this weight's come on me. You know, I saw a friend of mine the other day who I hadn't seen in 14, 15 years from high school, and he's gained at least 100 pounds. And he was a thin person in high school. He was an athlete. I think he lettered in 4 different areas in sport and track and field and football. And this guy was huge. He had a 50-inch waistline. In fact, I walked up to him because I thought I recognized him. I said, don't I know you? And he said, well, I'm such and such. And I said, oh, how you doing? And we talked for a few minutes. But I was so shocked because he looked 50 years old. And, you know, I thought, wow. And now, folks, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with looking 50 years old if you're 50, okay? But if you're 28 or 29 or 30 or 35 or 31, you shouldn't look 50. That's right. And so some people say, well, he'll be 50 someday, too. Well, yeah, I will.
Let's go back to the phone. It's 16 before 11. Go ahead, please.
Yes, recently I went to the doctor, and he said that my cholesterol level and my salt level were high, but also my triglycerides. And I'm dealing with the cholesterol level and the salt. But what exactly is your triglyceride level, and how can you naturally lower that? And I will hang up.
Okay, thank you. We've got a really good packet that we can send you on information concerning this. If you can write our office, we have several cassette tapes and several booklets that are in the packet. Now, there is a cost on the packet, so you'll need to call our office and get the information, but it's an excellent packet, and we talk specifically about different things, lowering blood triglyceride levels and cholesterol and dieting, and there's some tapes in there that are very informative. One of them's on scriptural nutrition. So what I recommend, rather than trying to get into all that, which would take the remainder of the time that we have this morning, is for you to go ahead and to write our office and get the information packet, or you can call our office. Okay, our phone number is area code 813-956-2733. Now, I repeat that. It's area code 813-956-2733. And the address is 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida, 33881. And just make the letter attention to NCS, N-C-S, Nancy, Carl, Sandy, okay, NCS, and you can either call us or write us, and we'll give you the information on that packet that we'd like to send out to you. But it's an excellent packet, and I highly recommend that people who have specific diet questions read the packet first, and that should answer most of their questions.
We'll go right back to the phone. It's 14 before 11. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Paul calling from Lakeland. I've heard you talk a lot about drinking distilled water, and I just wanted to know how important is that, and what's the problem with drinking tap water? Thanks.
Thank you, Paul, for calling. Well, there's a big controversy going on right now, and again, with all these areas of nutrition concerning different types of water that we should consume. Now, many of us do not realize, but when we live in a metropolitan area such as Tampa or Orlando, a lot of the water that we drink is simply recycled sewage. We don't think about it that way, and we don't want to think about it like that, but that's just the way it is. Now, you think, well, that's disgusting. Well, it is disgusting. You know, they pump all this chlorine and all these other chemicals into it to keep it safe as far as bacteria levels for us not to die when we drink it. Well, there have been a lot of linkage to these different chemicals they pour into the water and the carcinogenic effects. For instance, Miami has 50 known carcinogens in their water supply or cancer-causing agents, which is pretty scary when you really think about it. And so what we want to try to do in order to have optimal health and to stay healthy is to avoid all these contaminated sources of water. See, our body needs quite a bit of water every day. If you weigh 200 pounds, you should consume about half your body weight in ounces or 100 ounces of water a day, which is 10 ounce glasses. People think, well, I don't drink that much water. Well, you should. Everybody should. If you weigh 120 pounds, you should consume 60 ounces of water a day. And you should be aware of this. You should have systematic drinking of water. It keeps all the excessive salts and all the excessive toxins flushed out of the body. The kidney specialist that Tom had on here a few weeks ago was talking about people don't drink enough water and the urine becomes too concentrated, and that can be one of the causes of the development of kidney stones. So we need to realize that our bodies are not camels. You know, because of the frequency of our cells, we need more water than any other being or species or anything else that God created here on earth. And we need to be aware of that and consume that much water. And as far as distilled water, that's God's natural water. If the earth was not contaminated and if there weren't so many toxins in the atmosphere, when the water comes out of the earth and into the streams and it's evaporated by the sun, that's distilled water. When it rains, that's distilled water if it was still pure. That's the purest form of water is distilled water. And that's the kind we should be drinking as far as keeping our body chemistries perfect. And I thank you for calling, Paul.
It's 11 before 11. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling from Seminole, Florida. And I would like to know, there seems like there's so many women that are having female problems and hysterectomies and tumors and all this kind of thing. And I was wondering, would the diet have anything to do with that? And I'd like to ask another question and then I'll hang up. Could you comment on the substitute sugars for me? And thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Diet has directly been linked to many of the female disorders in this country. In fact, constipation, which is so prevalent in so many women today, has been linked directly to breast cancer and other female disorders. In addition to that, a lot of the devitalized foods that we consume are deficient in a specific mineral called manganese. And manganese is one of the highest concentrated minerals in the reproductive organs. And if a person has deficiencies in this particular mineral and are not eating enough of the fruits and vegetables to contain high quantities of manganese, they almost invariably have some type of tumor developed or problem developed which is associated with a specific deficiency in manganese. Again, this is beyond the scope of medical science, so to speak. This is from just current research that's been done, and a lot of these findings have not even been, as far as been promoted yet to the general public. But we have to be aware that nutrition does play a vital role in all of our body's functions and in the health of ourselves and our bodies. And our cells, we have to realize we're composed of cells. Each of these cells requires specific nutrients and specific proteins and all these other things to keep it healthy. And if these minerals and proteins aren't there, the cell can't remain healthy. And if manganese is one of the primary components of the reproductive organs, then we need to be aware of it and continue to consume foods that are high in manganese, like the seed fruits. The same thing with men. When they end up with the prostate cancer, it's been linked to a deficiency in zinc. And so many times vitamins are way overplayed, way overplayed. Vitamins are important, don't get me wrong, but minerals are much, much more important for the body chemistry to stay balanced. And this is what we teach in our seminars, that the minerals are of utmost importance, and they're even more important than the vitamins. And it's important that we realize that. Now, also, you were asking me about the artificial sweeteners. I don't advocate the use of anything except for raw honey, and we only use Tupelo honey. And there's a reason for that as far as the ability of the body to digest it. Now, the processed sugars, you know, are not healthy to eat. And the Tupelo honey, you have to use it in a great deal of moderation. Do not use it very much, only when you have to for certain recipes. But remember, if you're cooking that pie or that cake and it's Christmas or Thanksgiving, do what you want to do. You know, two or three times a year is no big deal. But under no circumstances should you use artificial sweeteners. You know, there's been no long-term studies which have been done on, like, for instance, the latest one, the aspartame, which has come out. But many of the consumer groups are now linking that to brain chemistry disorders and epilepsy in children. And some of the medical journals have said that women should not use NutraSweet if they're pregnant because it has been linked to brain chemistry disorders in the unborn infant. So these drugs are not healthy, and that's what they are. They're chemicals. They're drugs. And the same thing with the sodium saccharin. It has been linked to cancer. The cyclamates were linked to cancer. And it's better just avoid these things. Another thing that women particularly need to be aware of is the high consumption of caffeine. Caffeine is the primary precursor in fibrocystic breast disease in women, and for women should be avoided at all costs. Now, if a woman is drinking 18 cups of coffee a day, don't just stop drinking it all at once. Taper off, because the body becomes dependent on caffeine because it is such a very strong drug. So reduce the amounts of caffeine gradually over a several-week period until you get off of it. And, of course, if you don't think you're addicted to caffeine, you need to fast one day. with the advice of your medical doctor, of course, and fast and see just how you feel. And some people say to me, well, Ted, I feel terrible when I fast. I have headaches. I have this. I have that. Well, that's because that's how you really feel. When you take all the drugs and all the stimulants out of your system, that's what's left. And so you need to be aware of that. And I'm shocked always. We'll be doing seminars, and we'll have 100 people in our seminar perhaps on a Wednesday night here at church. And I'll ask, how many people in the audience fast on a regular basis? And usually no more than 4 or 5 people out of that 100 people raise their hands. And I'm shocked, because fasting is such a critically important thing for us to do, and we'll be talking about that in detail next month.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have just 7 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yes, we are just recently moved to Florida. We've been here for 2 months, and in the past couple weeks, both my husband and one of my 3 daughters have developed cold sores on their lips and also bumps on their tongue, which are very painful. I was wondering if this might be connected to the change in water, or is it something they may be eating, or just what is it, the different water from where we were to here, or what?
I have no idea, ma'am. That's not my specialty. We just work with preventive health care and nutrition. It could have been any of those things you mentioned. They could have had some allergies to some of the fresh fruit they're perhaps eating. They could have had all kinds of other problems. It could be the water. It could be many different things. It could be stress. So I'm sorry, but I can't help you on that.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for calling. That sounds more like a medical question, probably, for their family doctor.
Several other things I want to cover before we run out of time, Tom, is the problem that we have in this country with increased amounts of aluminum in the system and the body's inability to get rid of the aluminum. If any of you ladies are cooking in aluminum utensils, you need to get rid of them, period. You need to use stainless steel or something else, but do not use aluminum. Aluminum is a very unhealthy product to cook in because it's so porous, and many of the aluminum molecules are transferred into the cooking process. For instance, you can take a bowl of a saucer, and if you want to try it, go ahead. Take a saucer, put a little bit of milk in an aluminum saucer, and give it to a kitten to drink, and the kitten will drink it. You let it sit for 2 or 3 hours, and the kitten won't drink it anymore because there's such a transference of the aluminum, and the cat knows better than to drink because it's toxic. Mm. And so aluminum is a very, very bad product that we shouldn't be taking into our system, and now a lot of research is trying to link it with Alzheimer's disease, and it seems like they're having some pretty good results with that. In addition, we should not use aluminum chlorhydrate in our deodorant products because, again, they are not healthy to use. Another comment people ask me all the time is, which is better, butter or margarine? Well, people don't realize that the margarine in this country is because it's a hydrogenated vegetable oil that produces what we call a trans fat, and actually will raise cholesterol and triglyceride levels more than butter. Now, I advocate the use of butter perhaps 1 tablespoon a day, and that's it. And if you go out on the diet that we promote, then you're on a low-fat diet anyhow, and your total caloric intake of fat will be no more than 10 to 15%, which we consider to be healthy. So if you're on a diet like the average American is on, and you're consuming 60%, 50 to 60% of your total dietary caloric intake in total fat, it is not healthy to eat any type of extra fat. Okay, so be aware of that when I promote the use of butter, and don't just say, okay, well, now I can use butter and just go wild with it because I didn't say that. Now, another thing we always have questions asked about is the vinegar and honey diet. All these crazy diets, we were talking about them, Tom, out on the market. So many of them are just ridiculous. Vinegar and honey diet, if you have an alkaline body chemistry, may be good for you. It may make you feel a little bit better as far as bringing what we call your pHs back into range A. But a vinegar diet for a person who has an acidic system will make their system more acid, and actually will make them sicker and feel worse. That's the same problem that people have with the vitamin C that we spoke about. And we also have people always ask us about fertile eggs. Well, fertile eggs, as far as they say, well, there's lecithin in the fertile eggs. Well, you'd have to, in order to be able to use the lecithin in a fertile egg, you'd have to probably eat 100 or 200 dozen a day. And so it really makes no difference. However, there is a difference between a store-bought egg and a farm-raised egg as far as the chemical additives which have been put into the feed or the hormones and steroids that have been injected into the chicken itself. So on most of the time, if you're going to be using eggs in recipes, it's healthier to use eggs which are certified to be free of all these diseases and poisons and all these chemicals.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have just 3 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I know I've heard that you have a cycle for your Wednesday class at the church. When's the beginning of that cycle? When's the best time to start coming?
Well, our Wednesday night, that's a good, thank you for asking me that. Our Wednesday night classes at church are an ongoing class, and we're always changing them now. We're always adding new information and better information and updated information. We use an overhead projector, and we have films, and we have all kinds of videos that we're using now. And so for the people who attended the classes, you know, last year, a year and a half ago, they're totally changed compared to what they were when they first started taking them. So they're an ongoing class which always has new information in them. Now, as far as beginning of the class, there is no beginning. You know, anytime you wanted to start taking them, you could. And again, that's at the church on Main Street, the Old Assembly of God, where we still meet on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the church annex, which is across the street from the Main Street Sanctuary. And the classes do begin at 7 o'clock, and we will be continuing this discussion on facts, fads, and fallacies tonight. So if you have any questions, please bring them with you to church tonight, and we'll be starting at 7 o'clock. Again, the information packet that we suggest that you can order from our office is excellent. Again, it will answer many of your questions, and simply write our office just to NCS 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida 33881, and we'll be able to forward the information packet to you. And again, our phone number is area code 813-956-2733. That's 956-2733.
We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
We have 2 minutes left. We'll take one last call this morning. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Plant City. My husband, in the last 4 or 5 years, he started getting lumps underneath his skin. They're like surface lumps. And he's been to several dermatologists. They've told him there's nothing that can be done for it. And I just made him an appointment this morning, matter of fact. But I feel it's something to do with his diet. I've tried to help him eat better and, you know, eat healthier. And I just wondered, have you ever seen this in anyone else and noticed this? I'll hang up so you can answer.
Okay, let me answer that very quickly. About approximately one-third of our total body toxins are eliminated through our skin. Our skin is a large detoxifying center of the body, and many times when the body system becomes too toxic because of a lot of residues, etc., into the system, you need to go through a proper cleansing program which will help to clean this out. If that's the case, now, it may not be, I don't know, but we appreciate your call.
And unfortunately, that will have to be our last call this morning because we're out of time. Ted, if you would quickly again, your address and phone number for those that need more information.
It's 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida, 33881. The phone number is 956-2733. And if you've got any questions, please call our office. God bless you all. We appreciate you all so much. And we're looking forward to next month's show on fasting.
And that will be coming up on October the 7th, a Tuesday. Join us then.
You've been listening to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Unless otherwise stated during today's program, cassette copies of the broadcast are available at a minimal cost by writing Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenter's Way, Lakeland 33809. Be certain to mention today's date when writing. The address again, Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenter's Way, Lakeland 33809. Opinions expressed on Feedback are not necessarily those of WCIE.
Stay tuned for news on FM 91.